Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Truth and Lying, in an Extramoral Sense, there comes a point in the essay where Friedrich Nietzsche is going to ask this age-old question, one that has bedeviled so many people: what is truth? It's one of those terms that we throw around quite a bit, but if we have to be put on the spot and say precisely what it is, we often find ourselves in perplexities and difficulties. It's one that philosophers have spent a lot of time on, produced a lot of interesting theories about. It's also one that those who are in power and perhaps cynical or perhaps quizzical may ask, as Pilate did during the trial of Jesus. He asked, what is truth, right? And we don't go any further than that in the story. The idea is that he's supposed to, you know, be disparaging truth, or he has no idea what it is. But Nietzsche thinks that most of us don't actually have any sort of handle on truth. And he's telling us a story about the generation of the distinction between truth and lying and its consolidation, leading us all the way up to, like, you know, notions of science and natural law and issues like that he thinks at bottom really are matters of dissimulation and deception, the opposite of truth as we portray it. So, you know, what is Nietzsche contrasting his own view here? We're going to get to this really famous passage where truth is a mobile army of metaphors in just a moment, the closest that you could say we have to a Nietzschean theory of truth. Before that, let's think a little bit about what other people have indeed said in a much more optimistic way. The truth would be, you know, that which perhaps we understand it as reality, that which, when we take our own selves out of the equation and our own subjective biases and intentions, that's the residue that we're left with, the stuff that resists our own interpretation of it and thereby impresses itself upon us. So the truth has been conceptualized sometimes as that which remains self-same, or that which can be justified and explained, you know, if we're thinking about the Socratic treatment of truth. Another common way of understanding it is some sort of correspondence or adequation between different things, between thought and reality, between language and the things, between our concepts and things as they genuinely are in themselves. Or if we're talking about the truth of our own concepts, that we adequately understand what's going on in our own minds. And from Nietzsche's perspective, this is really highly optimistic in the pejorative sense of being out of touch with reality that he's going to talk about. Other people have closely associated truth with goodness. This is something that you'll not only find within various religious traditions, but also even every once in a while, somebody like Aristotle will slip something in there, and lying is something that's bad, right? Nietzsche's going to tell us something very different. And I'm going to read this passage, and then we'll explain it bit by bit. So he says, what is truth? And such a beautiful way of describing it after that. A mobile army of metaphors, metonyms, anthropomorphisms. In short, a sum of human relations which were poetically and rhetorically heightened, transferred, and adorned, and after long use seem solid, canonical, and binding to a nation. So that seems almost like a definition, doesn't it? It reads almost like that sort of phrase. What is truth? Truth is, here's the linguistic expression. Nietzsche is doing something performative in saying this. He's already engaging in metaphor and metonymy and probably anthropomorphism in his explanation of what truth is. So let's talk about each of these terms a little bit. What is a metaphor? In its broadest sense, a metaphor is a way of using languages or signs, linguistic signs, in which one thing stands in for another. So if we talk about rosy-fingered dawn, for example, rosy-fingered, that epithet, is a metaphor. Obviously, dawn doesn't have fingers, and what's rosy about it is, I suppose, the coloring, the hue as dawn is approaching, right? That's also an anthropomorphism as well, the taking a natural phenomena and making it into something like a human being with presence, with agency, something that we can pin things upon. Metaphors, right? Metaphors are one thing for another. I am a bear in the morning if I have not yet had my coffee. I'm not literally a bear, right? So we might say not truthfully a bear, right? If we're using this correspondence thing. But metaphorically, how am I like a bear? Well, I growl at people, and maybe I should say I'm a hyena because I bark at people instead. But even that, notice there's a metaphor going on there. Do I literally bark? No, I say things in an abrupt way. We call that barking, right? What is a metonymy, or here translated, metonym? Metonymy is similar to a metaphor. There's a kind of transference of sense, but you're working generally with part-whole or part-part relations. So, you know, one famous metonymy is where we use sails to talk about ships, because a sail is a part of a ship. Or we talk about, you know, there were 500 spears at the battle, meaning 500 men carried spears in to fight at the battle. Obviously, the spears didn't just like go off on their own, like some, you know, thing in the Sorcerer's Apprentice, you know, stabbing people left and right. No, they're carried by other people. And so metonyms are very similar to metaphors, although a lot of theorists will like to draw a distinction between them. Anthropomorphism, like I said, is when you are treating something that's not human as if it was human. Most of our cartoons about animals are great examples of anthropomorphisms. We think about some of these funny things that come up. Why is it that some dogs in Disney movies get to wear pants and others are on leashes, right? Some have been more anthropomorphized than others. So Nietzsche is saying that truth itself is not something outside of the metaphor, outside of the metonym, outside of the anthropomorphism. Rather, truth is this. That's the basis of truth. And he goes on to say, I didn't put this on the board, but he goes on to say that these, after long use, seem solid, canonical, and binding to a nation, to a community, to a set of language users. So very often things can ring true to us if we're from one community where they might not ring true to another. Now, he doesn't stop there. And another way that he talks about truth, following up on this, is that truths are illusions that we no longer realize to be illusions. They have been forgotten as illusions. Notice that he's going to use metaphor in doing this. He goes on and he says, they are coins which have lost their image and now can be used only as metal and no longer as coins. Right? That's a metaphor for verbal transactions. So he's using truth in the sense of metaphor to get at truth in terms of metaphor. And after a while, our metaphors lose their sort of force. They are no longer so striking. Or the metonyms, we just go along with it, right? Really, if you think about the innards of your computer or your phone, and all the ways in which we describe technology, we use a lot of these things, metaphors and metonyms. And we do anthropomorphize our computers as well. It's the way we wrap our head around it. And it doesn't take that long. It's only taken essentially one generation or a generation and a half for us to call a little slab of stuff that we move around a mouse and totally lose any sort of connection between that, you know, the old notion of mouse is something with a tail, and the thing that we now call a mouse. As a matter of fact, there's probably many people that other than cartoons have never seen a mouse in their life, and they've seen lots of computer mice. Another classic example of this is if you see that little disk icon in your Word, you know, processor or whatever other program you're using, that's a visual metaphor, right? It's showing you a disk, and it's also a metonymy because it's talking about the action of saving something. It's identifying the look of the thing with its function. Now, for many children, they've never seen a floppy disk or one of those little harder floppy disks in their life. They probably never will. But the symbol still remains, and the symbol has its meaning because it is conventional. That is what Nietzsche says truth consists in. He also talks about society as treating truth as something that can be imposed upon us as an obligation. So he says that we don't know where the desire for truth originates, but we've heard only of the obligation which society, in order to exist, imposes to be truthful. If we're not truthful with each other, we can't have society, right? And society tells us to be truthful, so we're not like those liars who we push out or punish. And he says, what does this mean? To use the customary metaphors. Or in moral terms, the obligation to lie according to an established convention, to lie collectively in a style that is mandatory for everyone. Now, this is something that we come to desire, Nietzsche says. We not only have this imposed upon us by however society is going to work in order for it to continue to function, we come to desire truth as something that we view as good, as useful, for us, as something that has value in itself. So he goes on and he says, we forget that this is the situation. So he lies in the designated manner unconsciously and according to centuries-old habits. Precisely by this unconsciousness, by this forgetting, he arrives at his sense of truth. The sense of being obliged by society, by language, by convention, to call one thing red, another cold, a third one mute, gives rise, he says, to a moral feeling with respect to truth. It becomes something that we desire, that we impose upon ourselves. We treat being truthful as what it is that we ought to do, as what makes us good, and those other people who don't do it as bad. When, at bottom, truth really is, as Nietzsche is telling us in his view, a mobile army of metaphors, metonyms, anthropomorphisms, etc., right? And it's something that society can impose upon us precisely because there has been this sedimentation of habit going on us in many cases for centuries. Although, as I pointed out, it can happen very quickly as new conventions arise. So this is a very challenging conception of truth, isn't it? It's very much at odds with the notion of truth as, say, correspondence between mind and thing, or words and realities. If this is right, this implies that all of those notions of truth would really be off base. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.